battles without precedent was the nature of modern war and how technology had radically changed the nature of war. The machine gun, the mortar, and heavy artillery, the tank, the use of gas, poison gas, used first by the Germans and then followed in kind by their opponents. I think the heavy artillery barrage was something that was, of all of these grisly aspects of the war, the most terrifying for the troops. In the positions at no man's land, both the Germans and the English or the French knew where their opponents were, knew where the lines were. And so periodically, even when there weren't major battles being fought, no attempts at breakthrough, there would be artillery barrages. It was a sort of standard feature of life at the front. Artillery barrages have a certain characteristic. The first rounds are fired. An observer watches them. They usually are fired long, by 100 feet or so. The next barrage will land 100 feet short. And then what happens is, in the artilleryman's terminology, the fire is walked toward the target. So the next barrage is 80 feet short, or long, then 80 feet short, 50, 40. It walks until finally the shells are landing right on top of the trenches, right on top of the dugouts. There was no place to go, no place to hide, except to dig deeper into the dirt. It was one of the most terrifying aspects of the war, and it went on and on and on. The psychological impact was profound. These horrors weren't, however, all. Life in the trenches was like nothing anyone had ever experienced. The men were ridden with lice. Enormous rats roamed over the battlefield and in the trenches. Large black vermin that fed on the human bodies that accumulated in no man's land and underground. The decomposing carcasses of casualties would surface. Men who had been dead for a week, 2 weeks, a month, last year, would suddenly surface as a new round of shells would hit and dig a new crater 10, 15 feet deep. Water filled the trenches, the water tables very high north in toward the low countries, so that trench foot became a common ailment. The smell of the front was so overwhelming. The bloated bodies that were left untended for weeks or months on end meant that the smell was so overwhelming that one smelled the front miles before one ever reached it. This was the nature of warfare between 1914 and 1918. 1917 seemed to bring the Germans closer to victory. In March 1917, there was some movement. The Tsarist regime in Russia collapsed, overthrown by liberal revolutionaries with an admixture of social democrats. The Germans, hoping to drive to push the Russians out of the war, transported a group of radical revolutionaries from Switzerland to Russia, among them the Bolshevik leader Lenin, to help foment radical revolution in Russia. The Bolsheviks, making full use of war weariness and calling for, quote, peace and bread, succeeded in seizing power in November of 1917, and in March 1918, the Bolsheviks signed a separate peace with Germany, the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk. Germany, at this point, by March of 1918, and really already by the end of 1917, had won the war on the Eastern Front. Russia had been defeated. Moreover, in the South, Italy was reeling. It had been routed in repeated engagements. And the French also in 1917 seemed on the verge of collapse. France was being bled white, was strained to the limit of its endurance. These were all positive signs and were relentlessly emphasized in German propaganda on the home front. There was light at the end of the tunnel, the German high command suggested. But there was also trouble for the Central Powers, for Germany, just beneath the surface. On November 21st, 1916, Franz Josef of Austria died, and the Habsburg monarchy, having suffered enormous casualties, began to unravel. Moreover, the Bolshevik